You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox, from Pro Football Focus and USA Today's BearsWire.com. Back once again to bring you some more Chicago Bears talk here as we inch closer to training camp down in Bourbonnais, Illinois. The players start reporting next week and things really start to pick up. So we're getting closer to real, actual Bears football that we can talk about on this podcast. But for now, we continue our early look ahead here at the Chicago Bears regular season schedule. We're already through the midpoint of the season, and we move to the Detroit Lions. I'll be joined by Chris Burke from The Athletic Detroit. He is a phenomenal journalist, writer, analyst of the Detroit Lions, and he'll be able to kind of provide his perspective on some of the changes this team has gone through on the coaching staff, but also how things might be similar on offense with some continuity brought over there. The Lions are the first divisional game we're getting to here in our schedule preview. I know the Bears play the Packers in week one, but we've talked about the Packers a few times already this offseason. And so when we started these schedule previews, really last month now, I didn't want to start off again with the team I felt like we'd kind of talked about not all that long ago. So we'll get to the Green Bay Packers when the Bears play them in week 15 as we go through our schedule here. But instead, we start here with the first divisional game for the Bears for us, a team that they have the interesting situation of playing twice in 11 days. When you really look at the calendar of the schedule, there's a game in between. They play the Lions week 10 on a Sunday, you know, a normal Sunday game. Following week is the Vikings on another normal Sunday game, but then they play at Detroit for the first of the Thanksgiving Day game. So not a lot of downtime between that previous game and not a lot of downtime in between the two Lions games. You're not going to see either team potentially be able to prepare a lot and offer a lot of new looks and new scheme and plays for that opponent that they're playing the second time. It'll be curious to see if and how the results of the first game can carry over into that second one. But more importantly, this is a team that is really key to measure the growth of the Chicago Bears. You know, the Lions were second place in the division last year after Aaron Rodgers got hurt in Green Bay. They finished 9-7. They finish outside of the playoffs, fire Jim Caldwell. Matt Patricia comes in, and now we have another team here with that first-year head coach bringing a different kind of mentality to the team, maybe changing the culture a little bit in different ways. Not necessarily for sure better or, you know, improved, but just different. The Detroit Lions are going to be different next year with Matt Patricia bringing that New England Patriots style of team. But I guess the big question mark is, how will that affect them in terms of wins and losses? You know, like the Bears bring in Matt Nagy, and there's a lot of people expecting a significant bump. You know, I tend to find myself more in a slight bump, but you know, the comparisons to the 2017 Los Angeles Rams continue to kind of be floated out there, and maybe that's putting expectations too high, but regardless, people expect Matt Nagy to equal more wins and potentially significant more wins in 2018, but Matt Patricia takes over a 9-7 team. You know, is he going to come in and be that instant difference maker and bump them up to a playoff, you know, a playoff caliber team competing for a wild card and maybe even the division? Or is this a transition process that's going to be longer? You know, is he going to be more stuck in his New England Patriots background and try and build the Detroit Lions to be New England Central? And is that going to take a couple years to kind of instill that throughout the roster? I mean, it's going to be an interesting balance for him to kind of strike between taking what they already had and the success they had and also trying to mold them to be successful in his way. But that's the fun of being able to watch these games, and that's the fun of the offseason, trying to kind of figure out how things are going to be pieced together. That's why we brought on our guest for today. Joining us now on the Locked On Bears podcast is Chris Burke. He covers the Detroit Lions for The Athletic Detroit, and you can follow him on Twitter at Chris Burke NFL. Chris, thanks for taking some time out of your day to talk Lions with us. How are you?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, the Lions, I think, are an interesting team here to compare to the Bears because of this, you know, head coaching change in both cities. How do you feel the feeling around the team has kind of changed this offseason with Matt Patricia? Has there been a noticeable difference than how things were with Jim Caldwell?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I think that there you can see the like Patriots effects on the franchise already, because everything's been very tight-lipped. I think they're, you know, they're very schooled in sort of what they can and can't say to the media. So I don't know how much information necessarily we've been able to get out of players and people in the building. But I think certainly there's a different energy. I mean, he runs his practices a lot differently than Jim Caldwell did. He's very much more hands-on, involved in the drills. He's a lot louder. I mean, Jim Caldwell would just kind of sit there, maybe pull a guy aside, talk to him a little bit. But Patricia, during at least during minicamp and OTAs, screaming at guys from time to time, which, you know, isn't unusual in most camps, but compared to Caldwell, again, is pretty different. So, yeah, there's a change in energy, whether that's for the good or bad. I don't know if anyone knows that yet, but certainly noticeable so far.
Well, certainly a lot has changed with the Detroit Lions this offseason. But coming up next on the podcast, we'll get into some of the things that have stayed the same and how that might affect Matthew Stafford this season. Keep it locked here on Locked On Bears. One of the holdovers from the previous coaching staff is obviously Jim Bob Cooter as the offensive coordinator. And it seemed like, generally speaking, from like a player personnel standpoint, there wasn't a lot of turnover on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, a couple players at a couple spots. But given everything or a lot of things staying similar, is there any reason to expect much of a change from Matthew Stafford in terms of his kind of production? Because it seemed like the last couple years, he seemed to level off a little bit and kind of find this nice, you know, happy medium for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that at this point in his career, you almost expect him to just, no matter what he's got around him, to produce a certain sort of statistical level. It's kind of like the Phillip Rivers ratio there. Like, you no matter who's out there with him, you expect him to throw for, you know, X number of yards and X number of touchdowns. But I think you're right. I think he did find a comfort level with the pieces around him, with the Jim Bob Cooter offense to some extent. I think, you know, he was one of the guys that was vocal about wanting Jim Bob to come back this year, which they obviously retained him as part of that the change staff. So I think that's an important point. You know, the two big things for him are the obvious talking points, I think, for the Lions going into camp and into the preseason, which are, will the offensive line be better and will the run game be better? Because those are really the two things that he's been working without to some extent. I mean, last year, Taylor Decker, their left tackle, missed the first half of the year with an injury, and then they never really found a way to replace him. They had to scramble a little bit inside, too. Travis Swanson went down. TJ Lang was banged up. So the offensive line never really was there the way they expected it to be. And they haven't had a run game for, you know, however many, you know, we're almost to the decades point now. You know, they've had some guys that have been pretty good, but they've never had a consistent run game really since Barry Sanders retired. And they think that they do now between LeGarrette Blount and Kerryon Johnson and, you know, bringing back Amir Abdullah, Theo Riddick. So we'll see. Those are the two things. If those elements are better, you, in theory, could see Stafford's numbers go down because they just him to throw as much.
Well, do you get much of a perspective on how this backfield might shape up? I mean, it seems like, you know, when you bring in Blount and you draft Kerryon Johnson in the second round, those are a couple guys that maybe they're putting some expectations on to lead the pack. But, you know, with Abdullah and Riddick in there being also, you know, draft picks and players that have produced in the past, do you get much of a sense for how this might shake out, or I guess what it looks like it could work out to be?
Yeah, I think that that's going to be one of the things that they'll try to figure out here in the coming weeks. But just baseline right now, I mean, LeGarrette Blount's probably, for the moment, you kind of pencil him in as, you know, the number one guy, I guess, you know, because I think he's going to get a lot of the short yardage work, at least early in the season. I'd expect him to get a decent amount of the early down work, but it's really going to come down to how quickly Kerryon Johnson comes around, because I think they do believe that he can be a three down back in this league. I think they believe he can be a 1,000-yard back for them as early as this season. And so it's going to sort of depend on, you know, how quickly does he pick up the scheme? How effective is he in those? Because Theo Riddick is one of the better blocking halfbacks in the league, and that's one reason that I think he's still got a role on this team. You know, he's a really good blocker. He's really good on his routes, and so they'll find him ways to get on the field, especially on, you know, third downs. And the wild card's kind of Abdullah, if there's any space for him left. I think if they get an offer that makes sense for them, they will move him, trade him somewhere. I don't know that. It obviously hasn't come yet. I don't know that it will come. And we've seen the Patriots before. You know, if they're carrying over that Patriots idea of having similar schemes and similar philosophies, you know, they're a team that's rotated four or five backs without much of a problem. Him to be kind of a backup, but we'll see.
I saw at The Athletic you wrote the 20 most important Lions for this season. And, you know, you put, I think, Kerryon Johnson and LeGarrette Blount kind of tied for 10, which is cheating, but I totally respect that move. But yeah. But I also noticed that all five of those offensive linemen made the list. I mean, that's 25% of the top 20 players on the team, all five offensive linemen. You mentioned the injuries kind of hitting last year. Do you think that staying healthy is the only thing stopping this group from being successful this year, or are there other question marks up front in your mind?
Well, I think, obviously the health is a big thing. I think they're better equipped to handle injuries this year if they should come about, because they stole Tyrell Crosby late on day three. They've got Joe Dahl, who picked up some experience last year. They brought in a couple of veteran pieces that can help out in a pinch inside, Wesley Johnson and Kenny Wiggins. So they're better equipped to sort of deal with those injuries, but I think they need that front five. I mean, the way that they designed it, you know, they've drafted three guys in that left side entirely of the line, Decker, Frank Ragnow, Graham Glasgow, and then they signed Lang and Rick Wagner to play on the rights. But they haven't had much of a chance to have all five out there together. So I think they're still waiting to see just how good it can be. But to your question, I mean, I think the scheme itself, there's got to be some improvements. I think we saw that last year, and it's been a consistent issue. It was a consistent issue throughout the Jim Caldwell era. We'll see if it carries over, but you know, I don't know that the scheme was as well set up as it necessarily needed to be for them to find the success they wanted on the ground, and I think that played out, which is why the run game was so bad last year.
Well, we're going to see some more significant changes scheme-wise on the other side of the ball, with Matt Patricia kind of bringing this history of, you know, creativity and multiple looks from the Patriots to Detroit. With guys like Kennard and Christian Jones from the Bears coming that can kind of play a little bit inside and outside linebacker and rush the passer and play off the ball, how are you expecting this front seven to kind of take shape, or is it too early to get much of a tell on that?
I think it's going to be, again, you probably go back and look at what the Patriots have done and translate a lot of it over. I think they're going to try to be pretty multiple up front and sort of shift between three and four man lines. I think they're going to try to be creative too in how they use guys. I mean, in mini camp, they were sliding some of their former defensive, you know, their 4-3 defensive ends, guys like Kerry Hyder and Cornelius Washington in and getting them reps as kind of a nose tackle spot on passing down. So I think you're going to see some shots where they're rolling, you know, three defensive linemen or two defensive linemen with a bunch of linebackers, that just anything they can to drum up pressure. And I think they're going to blitz a decent amount too. I think that's the other thing that's pretty apparent already, is they're going to bring, you know, Jared Davis is going into year two, but he's not a great coverage linebacker. He's really good coming downhill and attacking. I think they're going to let him do that when he's on the field and passing. So you're going to see him bring heat from a lot of different spots. I think they'll mix and match quite a bit. The biggest challenge for them is just finding the pieces. I mean, they have Davis, Ziggy Ansah's back for another year. And then beyond that, you know, there's a lot of question marks. I mean, I think they're still figuring out exactly how that two deep's going to shake out.
Real quick, before we move on, I just want to take a second to remind you that if you're looking for more on the Detroit Lions and gearing up for this Bears divisional opponent, or even if you're just a Lions fan listening into this podcast, I highly recommend you check out Locked On Lions here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Deary is the host over there, and he really does a phenomenal job. I mean, there's no bad podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, but Locked On Lions is consistently, I think, one of the best across the board. He does such a great job. He's a great and experienced radio guy. He knows a lot about the Detroit Lions, and he really brings on some high-quality guests from around the Detroit area and around the team. He really knows his stuff. He puts out a great podcast, and I recommend for Lions fans and Bears fans that just want to know more about the Bears division rival, check out Locked On Lions here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Well, I know last year that the pass rush was an issue at times. There were some hot stretches there from Ziggy Ansah, and that was enough for him to get the franchise tag this offseason. So when it comes to this year, how much do you think is on his shoulders to produce, or are they going to rely on the scheme more to free up the pass rush from other guys coming downhill, like you said, or even just get more from, you know, Anthony Zettel, Cornelius Washington, or either of the Alabama defensive linemen they have?
Yeah, I mean, I think the scheme's huge because, they're going to expect, whether it's linebackers, you know, Tavon Wilson's a pretty good blitzer. They've got some guys that can come in there and blitz from the secondary. So I think they're going to try and be creative in that. But to me, the two biggest keys maybe on that entire defense are Ansah and Devin Kennard, who comes over from the Giants, because those are the two guys that they're really counting on to be their pass rushers off the edge. And we saw, you know, there were a handful of games last year where Ansah was healthy and played the way he's capable of playing and just dominated, and it totally changed the shape of those games and especially what the Lions defense could do. So if he's on and if he plays up to his capabilities, they're a totally different defense than when he's just kind of going through the motions and they're, you know, playing 30, 35 snaps a game. They're rotating him in and out. And then Kennard's a guy who, you know, he's had some experience pass rushing. He's produced a little as a pass rusher. This is probably going to be as big of a role as maybe he's ever played. And I know he was an important piece of that Giants defense, but they're really going to ask him to be kind of a linchpin of this front seven and get after the quarterback quite a bit. So if those two guys have big years, you know, if they get up into the 20 sack range combined, I think the defense has a chance to be pretty good. If they're down near 10, 12 sacks, they're going to really struggle to stop the pass and to get after quarterbacks.
Do you get much of a sense for how much the pass rush affects, you know, the play of the secondary? I think that sometimes can be a chicken and the egg kind of thing, but, you know, Darius Slay seems to be able to produce regardless of what's going on around him, and Glover Quinn I'd put in that same category. But, you know, how much do you think, you know, that the Tavon Wilsons, the Nevin Lawsons, the Tease Tabor, I know he struggled last year, but how much do you feel like the rest of the secondary relies on the pass rush, or can the secondary step up to the point of maybe making the quarterback hold it that extra second to help the pass rush? Do you get much of a sense of that kind of relationship on the defense?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Slay's established himself by this point as an elite NFL lockdown cornerback. So you kind of just throw him out there and don't really worry about him, even though they play a lot of, or at least had played a lot of, you know, sort of cover three type looks. But he's the guy that you stick on the top receiver and let him go. Tabor and some of those other names are the ones that are going to be guys to watch this year because they, you know, it looks like Tabor's got the inside track to be the number two cornerback and certainly will be a player teams look to attack. And that's really when you worry about the pass rush not getting home, you know, because how long can he cover those guys? And same thing with the linebackers. They have a bunch of safeties. I think we'll see the Lions use three, maybe even four safety looks this year. But the linebackers have been terrible, just awful in coverage for the last several seasons. And really ever since they lost DeAndre Levy to injury. And I don't know that they're going to be significantly better this year, even with the new pieces they brought in. So that's when you get to, you know, you've got to have that pass rush because otherwise maybe you're not getting the deep balls against you because you have good safeties. You have at least one cornerback who's a lockdown guy, but that's when on the middle of the field and some of those underneath routes open wide. And we've seen teams just exploit the Lions there before. And they've got to have, as every team does, you've got to be able to get to the quarterback. And it was pretty obvious what a difference it made when the Lions couldn't do that last year.
Well, to wrap up here, let's take a little step back and look kind of big picture at the Detroit Lions. They finished 9-7 last year. You know, all the coaching changes this offseason. I don't need a win-loss prediction from you or anything, but is the expectation for the team that, you know, the first-year head coach will give them a bump and improve from last year, or is this kind of being viewed, or does it look like a more of a transitional year where maybe they'll kind of stay around in the same area or even take a step back? I mean, what are you expecting from this team this year?
You know, I think they'll be a better team, and they might have a worse record, if that makes sense, just because the schedule is so tough. I think you're going to see, you know, Minnesota's obviously really good. I think Chicago's clearly gotten better. And if Green Bay's got a healthy Aaron Rodgers, you know, this is legitimately one of, if not the toughest division in football. So I think they'll be better in the areas that they want to be better in. You know, I think they will find some way to get to the quarterback more. I think the run game is going to be better. I think the offensive line is going to be better. So they're sort of in that same range they were at last year, where if you have a couple things go wrong, which, you know, a couple things went wrong last year, maybe you're an 8-8 team and 9-7 team. But there is also the talent and the capability there to be a 10 or 11 win team and get into the playoffs. So I think they're in that. That's a pretty wide range, you know, to go 4 or 5 win range. But I think we're going to see a lot of teams like that in the NFC and even within that division. So that's kind of where I see them. I think they'll be a more complete team than they were last year, and they had been under Jim Caldwell. But I don't know how many wins that'll translate to.
Well, Chris Burke covers the Detroit Lions for The Athletic Detroit. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Burke NFL. Chris, your Lions expertise is second to none. I appreciate you for coming on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks again for having me.
Thanks again to Chris Burke for joining us today to break down these Detroit Lions. If you enjoyed our conversation and want to keep up with the rest of our regular season previews, plus all sorts of good training camp content we'll have in the next weeks here, be sure to hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast listening app you use. Locked On Bears is on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts app, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, you name it. You can find the podcast there. It's on the smart speakers as well. So many ways to listen and subscribe to your favorite Chicago Bears podcast, Locked On Bears. On our next episode, we'll be looking at the Minnesota Vikings as the next team on the Bears schedule. I'll be joined by Matthew Coller from ESPN Minnesota 1500 to kind of break down the addition of Kirk Cousins and how the Vikings are trying to build off of their success from last year and, you know, find ways to avoid a potential slump, a potential disappointment coming off of such a high. Because like we've kind of talked about throughout this offseason, the Vikings are honing in on really a win now year, and hopefully Matthew can help us get a little bit of an understanding of, okay, if the Vikings are at the top of the NFC, how far behind might the Chicago Bears be? That's coming on the next episode of Locked On Bears, and we'll also get you some training camp preview content along the way. We'll get you all set for everything you need to know for Bourbonnais, including, you know, if you're going to go, I'll be there. I'll let you in on the secrets of Olivet Nazarene University and the town and what you need to know. And then also, of course, what to watch for, what to look out for, what not to get too caught up in. Locked On Bears will be your source for Chicago Bears training camp news and analysis. Hope you'll keep it locked on Locked On Bears, because we're this much closer to really being able to bear down.